What's up, everybody? Welcome to the KT Talk Show, formerly known as Connect with KT. Wanted to let you guys know the app and program that I use for my podcast. This is a completely free program where you can download and record and edit your podcast for free. There is an app that's free, and you go to anchor.fm to use it online on your laptop. There's a creation tool on there where you can edit. And also, there is no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And remember, you can download the free app or go to anchor.fm. Another thing to remember is I am now on the HeartGrid Network, which is on captivate.fm. We are currently working on putting all our episodes on all platforms, including Spotify and Apple, so make sure to listen to us on there as well. If you guys don't already know, the KT Talk Show is now on the HeartGrid Network. The HeartGrid Network is now on captivate.fm, and we are working on moving all our episodes to all other podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple. So be sure to check us out, the KT Talk Show on the HeartGrid Network, and other shows that you can find there as well. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the KT Talk Show. This afternoon, I have Nasim Siegel. She is a numerology coach and the founder of Siegel Online. It's a holistic coaching and training firm. So I brought her on today because we're specifically going to talk about numerology, and she has all kinds of different ways that she utilizes the numerology and her coaching program, and also her techniques work for individuals who are seeking a greater personal meaning in their life. So Nasim, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and, you know, just tell us about what you do.
Thank you, Katie. It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me as one of your guests. I'm so excited to talk to your group of listeners about what I do, which of course is coaching, but I have a special twist in that I use something called numerology, which is really exciting for me. I've been doing it pretty much my whole life. So my father has his own special system of numerology that he taught me, and he's from India. And he basically, took myself and my sisters from a young age and introduced us to this really cool thing. And basically, numerology is, I would say, it's a way to really understand the vibration or the energy that is prominent in a person's life. And when you think that, you know, people are all energy beings, I mean, everything in the world is energy, but especially us, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to really get some interesting insight into a person's personality, their life, you know, some of the challenges that they might have coming up from their birth date, which is what numerology uses. And I couple that with my coach training, which I've, you know, been certified as an International Coaching Federation coach. I'm ACC certified. And I also have dual brain-based neuroscience coaching certification. So I really go from a top-down mind-body-spirit coaching type of program that I utilize with my clients in my practice. So it's really a lot of fun. And, you know, like I said, numerology is one of those things that I think some people may have heard of it. They kind of throw it in the same bucket as astrology. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different, but there are some similar elements to that. So that's pretty much what I do and how all that rolls together. And I'm looking forward to sharing more with your listeners.
Yeah. So you were saying, I just want to start off with, you said that you're as a young age, or starting out in a young age, your father had really taught you about numerology. How did you use that as a kid? Like, what did you do with it in your lifetime? Cause I know you said that that's something, you know, you've done other things in your life outside of that, but you always knew that mm-hmm. that was your passion, you know, since you were a kid.
Yeah. So, Yeah. So, I mean, really, I guess, how did I use it as a kid? So numerology was, it was just a kind of a family discussion that was had, you know, across the dinner table, as cool and strange as that sounds. But my father is, as I said, he's from India. My mother is, American. I'm American, born in Texas. And, so come from a biracial family. So we had a lot of really cool conversations growing up because we had such a diverse perspective on culture and life and, you know, different ways of doing things. So part of that growing up was that my dad wanted to share his background and the things that he had been around and introduced to from his age. And I say that because my family in India has mostly had a lot of really holistic practices, including Ayurveda and homeopathic medicine and things like that. And so it was kind of just part of his culture, I guess, that he would have alternative ways of thinking about health and wellness and just attitude and mental, you know, fortitude, if you will. So numerology came into the picture because it was something that he had learned in India, and he started to develop his own style. And he was part of the New Age group in the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s in America. He had a lot of great talks, and he would go around and visit with people and do their numerology. And he met with astrologers, and he started to include some of the astrology, or not the astrology, but the style or the computing from astrology. He would infuse that with his numerological system that he developed. And out of that came his own, you know, style of doing things. And so when I was introduced to this, I was about 8 years old. So just like anything, when you're introduced to it at that young age, you kind of think, okay, this is normal. It's like learning a new language. You know, you speak two languages at home. You have your regular language, then you have your secondary language. So it's kind of like that. And so we would just play around with it. My sisters and I, you know, we love to play with tarot. We love to try to figure out what's going on in our future. I mean, we wanted to be, you know, doctors and princesses at that age. But so, you know, you just kind of start playing with it. And like anything, I would visit with friends, and we'd talk about silly stuff like that, you know, just kind of what boy might like you, which one would like me, kind of thing. And then it just developed into, of course, more personal development as I got older and, you know, more mature in my thinking, of course. But I had really just kept it in my inner circle for a long time. There were some occasions when I would talk to individuals about numerology that were outside of the circle, and I always got varied responses. I'd say I have a fairly intuitive nature to myself in general, but you know, cool. Sometimes people would be totally embracing it, and other times they'd be, you know, really upset and, like, you know, telling me off. So I didn't really want to bring it out into the open too much. As you get older and you realize, oh, it's kind of something that you just keep boxed up. So I pursued other things. As you said, I went for a more corporate, you know, lifestyle. And so I had a lot of success selling real estate, and I did a lot of trainings and different things like that. But ultimately, I never left numerology, or I should say numerology never left me. I've always utilized it in pretty much everything I do.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. And you, and the fact that you've, you know, it stuck with you for so long is, and you were saying as you were growing up, like, it's kind of cool that you could use that as a tool, you know, for when you were facing challenges in your life. Because I know that you said, you know, that those numbers just represent pretty much everything that happens in your life, which you can talk way more about. And I was going to ask the next question. So if somebody, you know, just getting started in numerology, or maybe they don't, and you, you know, explained it a little bit, but maybe that somebody getting started, or they've, you know, used other resources, you know, how can numerology, along with the question of people getting started, how can they use that to better their life in a way?
Yeah, great question. So I guess let me start with this. So when you really think about numerology, and this is what I tell many of my clients, is that you have to think again back to energy sources, right? Mm-hmm. And let's just go back to the earth in general. I mean, a lot of times people mentally think that we're separate from the earth, but we're actually a part of the earth, right? So when you think about the earth, and you think about the sun and the moon and gravitational pull, right? And what's interesting about it is that the sun and the moon and the way that they influence the earth actually dictates how the ocean's currents will flow. Mm-hmm. So humans are made of about 65-70% water. And it's kind of crazy to think that the sun and the moon can dictate the ocean, but it wouldn't have any influence on a human being.
Right.
So when you go from like that perspective and you realize that there's, of course, so many planets in our solar system and other energy influences, you start to get a real grasp of like the possibilities. So numerology is an ancient science that was used, you know, thousands of years ago. And it's even said that Queen Elizabeth the first, King Henry's the eighth daughter. Sorry, I can't think right now. She actually used.
Yeah,
it's okay. January, y'all. It's 2021.
Right. Exactly. Thank you.
she basically used a numerologist to kind of help her decide on certain things. But anyway, long story short, so it's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and you take the energy from your birth date. Some numerologists use your birth name. I don't use that system, but some people do. And you're able to pull out different energy vibrations from the date of birth and timing of birth, or your name, the letters in your name. Each of them have a different vibration. And so from that, we're able to really assess what a person's general vibration would be, or their personality types. And then you can start to see some of the larger picture items, like what are the major challenges or deficiencies that this person is going to encounter in their life, or what is their spiritual purpose in being here now, and how can they really grow into the lessons that they're here to learn, versus how can they go the opposite direction and end up, you know, dealing with challenges in a harmful way. And so the way I utilize it, to answer your question, is I really try to help people through the coaching process to understand and really get back to an authentic spiritual place. And when you look at coaching today and what it's trying to provide to, you know, business executives and, you know, life coaching and career coaching, all that stuff, it's like getting back to the roots of who are you? What do you like? What's your passion? What's your authentic being telling you? You know, be present in the moment. And we get really, really distracted easily with so many other things in life. But numerology just says, okay, look, let's get rid of these distractions and go back to the source. And from there, we can start finding a way to help you feel more whole as an individual. So that's how I utilize it. Other people, and I do some of this as well, use it more for predictive things, like, okay, you're going to have this issue coming up in the future, or, you know, this relationship would be more compatible and so forth. And I do some of that as well. I'm not going to deny that, but it's not what I try to focus on in my practice.
Right. And does, when people, I don't know if this is relative or not, that's why I'm asking the question. When you see a sequence of numbers, is that relative to numerology as well, or does that not correlate?
You know, it's so funny. Every single person has interviewed me asks me that question.
Do they really? Oh my God. It just came to me too. I didn't even plan to ask you any questions. You know, and that was just a question that just popped up. So
yeah, no, it's cool. I do get that question a lot. And what I think, Katie, and I mean, honestly, I'm giving you the best answer I can. And my observation of that is that if you continuously see a sequence of numbers popping up in your life that may be a message that you're supposed to pay attention to something, you know, like if you buy a red car and suddenly every car on the road is red that you see, right? Or that you notice, I should say. Right. So, I mean, it could just be a coincidence, or it may be a moment when you could say, wow, I'm seeing this number here, there, and everywhere. What's the numerological purpose behind that number? What is this trying to tell me? Is there a lesson here? I mean, those are the questions I would ask myself if I were right. continuously seeing, repeating numbers.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. That's why that's what came to my head, because obviously for the last like 2 weeks, I've been seeing 11, 333. Like, I see all these numbers. Then it kind of started to extend to higher numbers, but it stayed in the triple, like it stayed in a sequence of three. And that's always been a thing for some reason for me, or like 111, you know what I mean? So I just didn't know if that actually correlates with, you know, the things that you do, or if people genuinely ask you those questions. Those questions come up a lot, obviously.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll go back to my coaching roots here and say that symbolism and metaphor is a really robust way of pushing someone into a new level of awareness. So, you know, for you, 111 may have a purpose or a symbol or a meaning to it that is attached to something deeply rooted in your emotional conscious. For me, it might be, you know, something else. So I think, again, in my best ability to answer that question is that I really think that in those moments when you do start to see that you're observing these repeating numbers, I mean, really sit with yourself and dig in and say, okay, when I see this number, what is it telling me? What am I telling myself? I guess if I'm noticing it, where is this showing up in my body? Like, what sensations am I having? You know, where is it showing up? What does that mean? What's the representation of that to me as an individual? Because again, you're asking me this question. And as I said, there's so many external distractions. Well, this might be a really personal internal lesson for you. And I can't know that for you. I can tell you, hey, you know, in the next few weeks, it looks like you got some really spiritual stuff happening. So just pay attention to things. But ultimately, the lesson is going to come from inside of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Like, and so, yeah, I get what you're saying. Because, I know that other people have said that, you know, like, oh, I see this all the time and it means this. And people are going on Google search and looking up different things, and people will say it means angelic meaning. You know, there's so many different ways I think people interpret it. But I like how you were saying to just, like, really, it's, you know, looking internally and saying, like, what right now, kind of like in this moment, what is a lesson to be learned or an experience, like you were saying, and a reflection.
They say that every cell in your body has its own conscious. So, you know, every cell in your body has its own memories, and it could be that a certain cluster of cells or a certain memory is trying to come out and say, hey, pay attention to me. This is something important. And so I just feel like, again, in those situations, it's important for the individual to do their own personal investigation and be open to what might be in front of you, you know? And numerologically, like I said, if you tell me in a session, oh, I'm seeing all these repeating numbers, I might be able to look at your chart and say, well, you know, the vibration in your life right now is about change. And so perhaps you need to look around what's changing in your life, and is it causing you an anxiety, or are you looking forward to this change, or what have you? And maybe that number representation is trying to bring something out from the past that will give you some structure or support or an unfinished lesson that you need to address around change.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And that, and you said that that's what you use. You utilize that tool with your clients a lot. Not necessarily in the like the sense of the seeing the, you know, repeated numbers, but going back and addressing like what you feel in the situations and different parts of your life.
Oh yeah.
Different situations is what I meant.
Yeah. So for example, I had a client reach out to me about 2 weeks ago, and it was just before the new year. And they are a very successful business person here in my city, Houston. And they've been dealing with a lot of challenges like so many of us have in 2020. And so I looked at his numerological chart as part of our coaching session. And the first thing I said on the call is, I understand you have this, and this issue going on with you right now today, but what your chart's telling me is that this actually started 2 years ago. So what was happening in the time frame of X, Y, and Z date? And it took them a little bit to really think back. But ultimately, what was uncovered is that he had made some intentions about how he was going to manage his life and how he's going to manage his relationships and family going forward around that date that I had referenced. And where he is today and the challenges he's facing today are so far off base from what he had consciously made as an intention for himself that he was feeling lost and not sure how to deal with these challenges. But once we were able to connect him back to his intention at the time, the vibrational energy at the time, 2 years earlier, he was like, wow, I really understand what I need to do now to be true and authentic to my purpose and my intentions. And the confidence was just 100%, you know, reversal from where we started the call. And I followed up with him. And of course, he's, you know, feeling like he's definitely got a path forward. Whereas he called me originally because he, like I said, he was completely lost. I don't know what to do. I don't know what direction to go in. There's so much chaos around me, stuff like that, you know?
And he, and if you don't mind me asking, I'm not going to ask too many personal questions, but as far as like you were saying that he set an intention for himself and then he kind of like lost it within the 2 years, like, was it an intention to like start a business or something like that? Or was it like a relationship? I'm just curious because I just know that there's just so many different things that people, you know, intend, like one quick thought, like, oh, I want to have, you know, this nice apartment one day or something, like just like that. Yeah. And then, you know, and then you lose that thought and then boom, 5 years later, you're stuck in the same place or something. So I was just curious if, you know, what intentions do you kind of like, do people can have and, you know, how you can help them along that.
Katie, I love that question because you're so right. That's where our conscious mind is. It's in the, what do I want? What do I need right now? I want this new apartment, but you know what? That's not actually an intention. That's an outcome that you're hoping for. When you go back to your intention or the beginning, the reason behind that, well, why do you want that apartment, Katie? Well, because it'll be a better location for me. Well, what's important about that location? Well, I'll be closer to my job. Well, let's talk about this. You know, what? Let's go deeper and deeper and deeper. And suddenly you get down into these layers of, wow, I have this job because, you know, my mom pressured me into it and I'm not really happy. But, you know, ultimately it's what I feel like I should do because it makes me look like I'm successful. And well, what do you, well, let's talk about that. You know, so you kind of dig in and it's almost like going, you know, layer to layer. What's that Tootsie Roll? How many licks does it take to get to the middle?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, and if I'm remembering that owl commercial correctly, at some point it just bites right into it, right? It so that's what numerology does, is it bites right in, gets to the core quickly.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's a good way to explain it, though. I like that because it's just like, all right, I'm not waiting any longer. Crunch. Like, let's just deal with this.
Yeah. So the intention in that example would definitely be the interior purpose. You know, the ultimate goal is I really want to move into this apartment because I need that personal satisfaction knowing that I'm, you know, serving other people and I'm being true to myself. And you go back and you're like, there's no way that I want this red car. Or I want this new apartment that it has anything to do with such a deep level of emotional consciousness, but that is 100% what coaches out, and I don't care what level of coaching you are, you know, going from again, kids all the way up to this top of the top CEO, C-suite executive levels. Everybody does things not because of any other reason, but it's a reaction to a baseline purpose or a baseline intention. And again, it just depends on the individual. But whenever you start looking at the numerology, you can see what their personality is and what their general purpose is on this earth. And if they're following their purpose, if they're connected to their intention, because I believe that we came into this earth or onto this world with a purpose. So your soul is here for a purpose. And that intention has to be completed at some point, you know, has to really be lived. Yeah. When you look at near-death experience or read about near-death experience patients, a lot of times what they say is, I didn't want to leave, or I had to come back because I needed to finish my contract, my soul contract. And so it's like, that's the intention of your life. And again, that's where numerology really kind of helps me. And again, I don't want to make this too heavy, but I mean,
no, it's okay.
Most people don't go to that level, but most people haven't been doing numerology for 30 years either. So.
Right. Well, I was going to say that, because you know, I mean, you really know this like so well. So that's why I'm just asking these types of questions, mm-hmm. because I can't, yeah. you know, not everybody knows that stuff. So.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have astrologers and I have coaches and I have,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
Therapists, of course. And I'm pretty normal. If you met me on the street, I'd be pretty normal, you know? So,
oh yeah. That's what I
like. I sit
say.
In the back room. Yeah. With a turban and a crystal ball or anything.
Oh no. I know. Yeah. I know we're all human. We all do, you know, we're just human. That's just what mm-hmm. it is. Right.
Yeah.
So do you think that there's a couple of things that popped up? Do you think that a lot of, what helps, like I'll just say your clients, what helps people that work with you is you dig in what numerology really does, to kind of just say it in a few words, like it digs really deep into your subconscious and then it like makes it conscious for you on a daily basis. Is that kind of what it helps do? And that's how people like transform? Or is that, you know, I'm just asking because mm-hmm. that, like, you know, if that's how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, again, whenever you Google numerology, it'll come up with all kinds of stuff like, okay, this is mm-hmm. this is your life path number. And by the way, Katie, just for your audience, there's a general system and that is 1 through 9. Those are your general numbers. And then you do have master numbers, which would be the 1-1, the 2-2, or the 3-3. And those all mean different things. So you have your general number, and then you have different life cycles, and certain periods in your life are different cycles, and the outcome will be such and such. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that. And again, I do a lot of, kind of not predictive stuff, but here's what to expect coming up, kind of the energies that you're going to be encountering. And I do have people ask me about moving and relationships and all that kind of stuff. So that does come up, and the numerology does kind of point to, well, this is what the chart's indicating here as a possibility. But yeah, so for me, I think what surprises people whenever they do work with me is that I do go to such a deep level. But I also try to make it very clear that that's what they're going to be expecting whenever they work with me, because I want true transformation for people. And numerology can be easily packaged into some frivolous thing that, you know, you just pull it out at parties, which is exactly what I used to do for so many years. So I'm not speaking bad about that. But mm-hmm. but I decided that I wanted to take a deep dive and go a little further. And yeah, I just feel like it's a better way of benefiting the client, you know, when they can leave feeling like, you know, I didn't just get the information that I wanted, but I actually answered a lot of it for myself.
Right,
because when you as an individual answer your own questions, you're more likely to take ownership of the action required to achieve your goals. Definitely. And so I try not to get in the client's way when it comes mm-hmm. to that, but I definitely come in with a numerological hat on. So there's that ability to say, yeah, this was really, you know, terrible stuff you're going through. But, you know, let's see if you can figure out a way out, and I'll hold your hand through that process. And based on your numerology, it looks like you're going to come to some really strong conclusions within the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know? Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
No. And then just, you know, that the vibration might be, one of, intensity or, a watery vibration, which could be something more emotional, you know, so there's different, different things that could be going on at that time.
And you did mention, cause this is something we talked about before, the, you said one, there's 9 numbers, the like life path mm-hmm. numbers. Do you mind talking about those just a little bit?
Yeah. So 1 through 9, so you have your basic life path, number. That's almost like your personality. It's, whenever you think about astrology, like your, sun sign, they call it. So I'm a Leo, I'm born in August. And, Katie, what is your birthday? Why don't we just do an example for your,
yeah, that's people. Fine. It's April 21st, 1990. So 04-21-90.
Okay. So here's what you would do. So you would take, for those of you that want to try this out, you take your, month, day, and year of birth, and you add the numbers up until they reduce to the number 1. So you're born on the 21st. So you would take the number 2 and you'd add it to 1, and that would be a 3. Mm-hmm. And then you take 1990 and you would take 1 plus 9, and then that would be 10. And then 10 equals 1. And then you take that 1 plus the second 9 in 1990, same thing, that's going to equal 1. And then you take 1 plus 0, and that equals 1. So you have a 4, a 3, and a 1 in your birth chart. Now you take those three numbers, April 21st, 1990, comes down to 4, 3, and 1, and you add those three numbers together. And what you'll come up with is 4 and 3 is 7, and then 7 plus 1 is 8. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. So I know some people are going to be like, what is she?
Yeah, they might have to go back and like listen to it a couple times. But if you said it slow enough to where like, you know what I mean? If they had to go back, they could.
So long story, long story short, that 8 is your life path number, Katie. So 8 is actually a fire sign. So there's a lot of intensity around it. There's a lot of business mindedness, you know, but you do sometimes like to be the boss, and you don't really always worry about other people's feelings. That doesn't mean you're not a sensitive person, because you can have other aspects in your chart that talk about the sensitivity that you have. But generally, 8s are very matter of fact. They like to be in control of things. They like the luxuries of life. They'll work very hard to get what they want, but they generally are in more of a leadership position. And the 2 and the 1, so you're born on the 21st of April. So the 2 and the 1 also have influence in your chart. The 2 is a moon or water sign, and the 1 is also a fire sign. So when you have water and fire, what happens? You get steam, right? So it's basically hot air. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. So, no, but coming out my ears.
So you do have a sensitive nature to you. You're also a great communicator. That's the 3, the 2 and the 1 equals 3. So that's an air number. So there's all kinds of really cool vibrations going on. So it makes sense that you have your own podcast, because communication is key whenever it comes to that. But you're also a business owner, right? And so you probably have great tendency to make great goals for yourself. You get things done. It looks like you have, let me see here, just a moment. I'm going to take 1 second to look at your chart. Yeah, you definitely have a very sensitive, intuitive nature almost about people. And that comes out whenever you are communicating with them, and you're like, you instinctively know, yeah, I can work with this person, or no, I can't. And then sometimes you probably find yourself in a situation where you have to negotiate a lot between the parties or be the mediator. And you probably are really good at that because of that 8 that you got there. So, I mean, we could go on and on and on. I mean, this is just a very high level sample, but so yeah. Each number has its own representation. And so I'll go through the numbers really quickly. Number 1 is a fire sign. People tend to be very independent. They think about, you know, what they want. They've got great boundaries. They are the ones that get things done. And every number has positive side and negative side, and you can vibrate on either one of those sides, depending on what's going on around you. So the negative side of a 1 is sometimes they tend to be overly self-absorbed, and they can be seen as being selfish. But generally speaking, when you want to have someone in your social circle or in your business who's going to really start working hard to get something going or really be able to pioneer through something, number 1 is a great, great number to have. So number 2, again, is a water sign. Number 2 is about diplomacy. It's about the emotions. It's about people getting together. It's a partnership number. Those are positive. On the negative side, they can be drama queens. Sometimes they can, cause havoc in relationships. So just like they can cure people of havoc, they can also cause havoc. So it's kind of polar opposites there. Number 3s, again, are air numbers. They tend to make people laugh. They're great communicators. They're kind of the life of the party, extremely intelligent. They can also be very fickle. They can also be very forgetful, unreliable at times. So again, depending on where they're vibrating. Number 4s are earth signs. So they're very serious. They're not always going to be the one that you would say, oh, I want to have this person. They're going to liven things up, you know, but if it comes to like getting structure, organizing a party, they're going to be like right there doing the hard work. They're great builders, people who just are very methodical and secure. On the downside, they can be a little stingy. They can be a little bit like, you know, if you're not working hard, then they have no respect for you. I'm saying this, but I'm thinking about my spouse because he's a number 4. He's like, he's like, I do not want to color with you today, Nassim. Thank you. I have real work to do.
Oh, hey, we color. That's great. That's good to know. I'm not the only, no, I'm just joking. That tries to invite my significant other to color with me.
Right. So number 5s, however, are definitely the life of the party. Again, they tend to be very indulgent. They love the finer things in life. They love to travel. Like when you're thinking of someone who would be a great actor or actress, that would be a 5. On the downside, they can be party animals. They can be overly indulgent. They tend to go to anger quickly. So those are some of the things to look for there. Jupiter will be represented by the number 6, which is also air. The number 6s are really cool number in the sense that I think of them as like Mother Nature. I mean, they are Earth. That's their purpose, is to really be harmonious, to take care of, be in service of others. When you think of humanitarians, doctors, nurses, people that are really caregivers, that's going to be all in the 6s. Challenges to 6 is that they may not be very trusting of others all the time. They can be highly critical of others. They can demand perfection, which is not tangible thing at all, but they can be very demanding in that respect. but again, they're great with animals and they're good with food and so forth. So number 7 is reclusive sometimes, but they tend to be the intellects of the world. They're great researchers, analytical thinkers, philosophers, people that really spend a lot of time considering things. So on the negative side, you might say, well, these people are so great at thinking that they get paralysis of analysis and they don't make any moves. but you know, that's one of the challenges there. They can also have tendency to have insomnia, you know, like they overanalyze things. They can be a little bit standoffish sometimes. They're not someone that you'd say, okay, well, this person's going to, really be a great participant in the conversation, but they'll do intense listening, if you will. Yeah. And then number eight, so we kind of touched on a little bit, by the way, I'm a life path number eight as well. So again, cutting to the chase, being, you know, very business minded, being aggressive, but not in a arrogant way necessarily, you know, but they get things done. On the downside, again, they can be a little bit overindulgent and in the sense that, you know, we like material things, eights do. And so we can overindulge in that respect. And we can be a little, you know, too hard-nosed sometimes when it comes to business dealing. So we have to soften that up sometimes. And then number nine, again, is a very karmic and spiritual number. It vibrates. The nines are special because they vibrate with all the numbers.
Nice.
And so there's a lot of karmic influence with the nine, very spiritual. They can be very beautiful, both internally and externally. When you know, celebrity that I think, and I don't have her chart, so I don't know if she actually is a nine, but the persona of Angelina Jolie and the humanitarianism and, you know, she's got just absolutely stunning. She does so many good things. She's very, you know, kind of cerebral, but also you feel like she's got some spiritual stuff going on. But then on the downside, she can be a little kooky and, you know, you never know where she's coming from. You know, she may not feel like she's tethered to anything. She might kind of be floating around sometimes. And so she seeks meaning for herself and other people, which can lead her astray, things of that nature. And again, I haven't done her chart, but this is just the personality persona of a nine. And then again, you have your master numbers, and master numbers are really considered to be the most elevated spiritual beings. That doesn't mean that you're going to meet them and they're going to be like blowing you away with their philosophy, but they tend to have a very direct and purposeful lives. And there's just a knowingness within them that makes them slightly more elevated in their spiritual progression, if you will, if you believe in that. So 11s, 22s, and 33s are all considered master numbers. And I won't go too much more into that, but I think that gives your clients and your listeners hopefully a pretty broad overview of the different numbers.
Yeah. And you said, I know you don't want to go too much into it, but I just want to ask the question real quick with the master numbers, and where did those ones come from? I don't know I didn't hear where you say that the master numbers were in relation to the other nine numbers.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, some of the philosophy behind master numbers is that, these are spiritual beings, even more so in the sense that it's like they've got one foot in heaven, one foot on earth. And so their purpose is even broader than what most people can comprehend. And so I would say that in master numbers, it's not so much the personality always, just kind of how I describe the overall personality of the other nine numbers, but it really has to do more with their destiny, if you will. Does that make sense? So, for instance, one of my sisters, I have two, but one of them is born on the 11th of a month. And, it's not that she's, overtly spiritual, but she does have, it seems almost like a deep seated, drive or awareness that I even lack, and I'm in awe of her. Now she's not always the nicest person. I say that with so much love because she's one of my favorite people, but
I get it. Totally.
Doesn't it just because you're, you know, one of the, what would be considered a spiritually evolved person doesn't mean that you're, you know, always going to be Mrs. Friendly or whatever, but what I'm trying to say is that she has again great meaning and purpose in her life, and so I think that ultimately her outcome and what her numerology looks like is slightly different than someone that would say be born on the 2nd of a month, because as I described earlier, if you take two numbers like in your birth chart, you have the 21st of April, well, that's a 3. Well, it's not a pure three though. So someone born on the 3rd of April would have a different energy vibration than you would, Katie, because you're made up of a 2 and a 1. So this is getting a little bit more technical into numerology, mm-hmm. but the numbers do affect the outcome, and they also affect the other numbers in your chart. And whenever I do a full chart on someone, I mean, I look at probably about, I don't even know. It depends if I'm looking at something specific or if I'm just looking at an overall chart or if I'm looking at their months or their like year 2020, your chart, it changes frequently. So I can easily look at, you know, 25 or 30 different numbers on average, just to kind of get an assessment of a person and where they're at and what's going on. And because my father made and developed this charting system, I have to do everything by hand. So it takes me a few hours to really dig into someone's chart just to get a real strong understanding of where they're at in their life and what's going on and what to expect going forward, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to say something about you writing stuff down. I feel like that's something, I don't know if that's an 8 thing or not, but I have to have things written down rather than being on my computer and stuff. And that's been a thing for me like my whole life. So I don't know if that is in relation to it or not, but...
Well, I think I'll say this. I mean, I have notes everywhere, but I know from a neuroscience perspective, and again, I'm certified in dual brain-based neuroscience coaching certification. So that neuroscience says that your brain likes tangible things. So it likes to actually hold a pen and write things down, and it triggers parts of your memory and your sensory perception that make memories stronger. So I would say from that perspective that, yeah, I totally dig the writing things down. Yeah, as far as the coloring goes, it kind of helps to alleviate your mind and gives you space to be more problem solving. Kind of, you think, oh, if I'm focused on something, I'll solve it. But actually, what the science says is if you give yourself a break and let your mind wander, you're more likely to come up with solutions. So it's a healthy balance to have both.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly why I color, because then when I come back to whatever I'm doing, I have like a brand new perspective on it. It's really cool.
Yeah, they call that your default mode network.
I like that. I did have something that I was thinking of when you were talking about the numbers, and then you were saying, you know, how those master numbers, they're just you on a higher spiritual level. And obviously they were born that way, which I swear I know people in my life that are those numbers. It just, there's no way that they're not. I can just immediately think of them. Mm-hmm. So for some of those numbers, we have about 15 minutes left. So we have time for a few more questions. Mm-hmm. So with those numbers, so not every single number is technically supposed to be following a spiritual path. Is that like, I mean, not necessarily not following a spiritual path, because I think, you know, everybody kind of has their own in some way, shape or form. But necessarily, you know, like, let's say like meditation and like chakra work and, you know, just things like that, like, and, you know, hypnotherapy, stuff like that. So are some people, you know, meant for things like that and others are not, you know, should some meditate, some not, should all meditate, just things, you know, that the general like spiritual question about those numbers. And if it's you know, something you recommend to them to do, you know, in a spiritual way, you know, do you tell them to work on their chakras or something like that?
Mm. Okay, so it was like a whopper of a question.
Sorry.
Make sure I understand.
I was looking at the chakra book. Okay, so basically, sorry about that. Basically, what I'm asking is for, you know, the 1 through 9 numbers that you said, you know, you got the fire, air, earth, or, mm-hmm. you know, all the different signs. Are certain numbers more prone, you know, to advancing or getting better if they do more of a spiritual, you know, journey where they do meditation, or, you know, are some other compared to some other numbers where maybe they just need to take a walk in the park or, you know, read a book or something, mm-hmm. compared to, you know, the other numbers that need to meditate, you know, is that better?
Okay. Yes. I think I got it. So
okay.
I really appreciate that question, because, again, that kind of folds in some of the neuroscience that I've studied and coaching and also numerology. But I want to say that all numbers are spiritual. Okay. It's not that master numbers are more spiritual necessarily, but they have a deeper, more evolved soul or more evolved purpose, I guess. So when we were talking about intentions earlier, and I mentioned that, you know, people come into this world with intentions. And so the master numbers, their intention, I would say, is a little bit more evolved. That doesn't mean they're better or worse or more spiritual, however. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And secondly, I am a meditator. I practice Vipassana meditation. And it changed my life. I, you know, as I said earlier in this session, I didn't start out thinking I'm going to be a numerologist. In fact, I tried to kind of keep it under wraps for many, many years, but, that doesn't mean that I don't still have life experience, because I do. And, I unfortunately, or fortunately, because I've learned so much, but I had very traumatic experiences throughout my life, and you can't avoid your lessons. And so even with numerology or the knowledge of numerology, so I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder at some point. And in my mid-20s, I was going through a lot of therapy. I was doing a lot of different types of practices to see what would work or what would help me. I was on medication, and it just seemed like for a couple of years, nothing was helping me. And I'd suffered with depression since I was a kid, you know? So, from that perspective, meditation totally changed my life. I went into the deep end with meditation. I didn't do a tiptoe into the water. So I'd say for people that are really ready to break through and get some resolution and, you know, go through what can be one of the most challenging experiences of their life, I highly recommend meditation. A lot of the meditation that people do today, just, you know, like your Calm app or mindfulness at school, just sit and be quiet for a minute. There's a lot of benefit to just doing even that. So you don't have to make it one of the most painful, challenging experiences of your life, which is exactly what meditation is for me. It's not like ooh la la thing.
Yeah.
That I'm serious about it. And I was serious about getting, you know, a better grasp of my mind and my emotions at the time. But mm-hmm. I would say, however, that the science out there is showing that meditation does not have the same results for everyone. And to your question of whether some people should read a book or some people should go for a walk outside, I think nature is nurture all the way for everybody, whether mm-hmm. you like being outdoors or not. I think being in nature is one of the best things you can do for yourself. And meditation again, is different things for different people. So that word means, you know, so many things across the spectrum.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I think, you know, in order to find spiritual enlightenment, which I think is really the root of your question.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that also is one of those deep personal things that each individual has to assess for themselves, because I believe that your numerology can definitely identify the areas that you might be pulled into, like what your spiritual interests or purpose is, like the lessons that you would want to accomplish or resolve or learn through. Like mm-hmm. a number 8 may have, and again, this is just an overview. It's not specific to either one of us, but might have a spiritual purpose of needing to let go of control. And so what will present itself into that person's life is many situations where control issues are present, where they're either being controlled or they are in abundance of control of other people. And, you know, it may be it may be a lesson in disguise. And so by addressing and moving through that lesson and being aware and open to new awareness and to growth on a spiritual level, I think that person would evolve. Mm-hmm. Whereas right. someone who's a different number or different vibration may have other challenges. Maybe they're an addictive person. They have addiction in their life, or they're around addiction. And that may be something that they need to grow through and evolve from. I very, very rarely hear people say, you know what, this experience was the worst thing that ever happened to me, and I'm so upset about it, and I never learned anything.
Yeah, right.
I always hear people say, wow, that was really crappy. 2020 was terrible. But you know what? Numerologically, 2020 was amazing in the sense that
I believe it
happened to help so many of us to shake free. Or break free, I should say. Yeah. 100%. From these inauthentic ways of living. And that's all mm-hmm. that Saturn is. And that's what the 2020 is. It's all about Saturn, diplomacy, community, earth, health, structure. I mean, that was all being addressed last year for sure.
Yeah. And you know what? And when you say that, it just makes that's all everybody that I've been bringing on my show is just coming from all different things that you're talking about. And that's the 100% common thing that everybody talks about is, 2020 was, just a whirlwind of, craziness for people. But if you really, paid attention to what was, spiritually, I guess we could say, right, mm-hmm. what was going on is like it was a huge awakening and change for us all to see, that a good change was coming, I guess, or a new awakening, a new skin was being shed type thing.
Well, I'll leave your listeners with this. I wouldn't say that 2020 was a new awakening. I would say that 2020 was a breaking free of structures that are no longer supporting us from,
right way to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. From like the top down, from the earth all the way to individual health, to lifestyle, to finances. However, 2021 is going to be more about change. And so you said 2020 was about change. And I'd say, no, 2021 is going to bring a lot more change than people are going to anticipate. And you may be surprised at just how much changes and how rapidly the changes take place and how much intensity will be involved in that process. So it's kind of like 2020 was, we got to vacate this building right now. And 2021 mm-hmm. is the actual vacating process, the actual activity that it takes to vacate, if you will. So it's going to be a very robust year. Make sure you stay, connected, grounded. Don't let your tempers flare. Keep your tempers in check. When they do finally lift all of these, lockdown orders, which I think will be later in the year, don't go crazy and go overindulge.
Right. Good tip.
be cautious.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that because I know everybody is just itching to go do stuff. Mm-hmm. I've really got 500 people in one store at a time.
Yeah.
That's a great, I like how you said that. I think that was a great, I'm learning myself. And I appreciate so much that, you have offered to this show today. I think that you have, given a lot of information that will be useful for people in this coming, 2021, what you just said, how this is a time for change and, in mm-hmm. how you even mentioned earlier that, you yourself are the one that can make that change. And also, side note, it's always okay to ask for help, and it's mm-hmm. good to have mentors and coaches. And Nassim, I'm really excited again that you were on here, and thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much, Katie. And if I could just say this last bit, and that's if anybody's interested in learning more, obviously they can reach out to me, thenumerologycoach.com. But I so appreciate you inviting me onto your show. And I hope that a lot of cool things and new awareness comes out of this conversation. And I'm really looking forward to connecting with you guys again. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.